I don't know how much you guys follow the news. I'm kind of a news junkie and a political junkie. I'm always fascinated by what's going on in the world, particularly here in our country. And one of the things you notice if you follow the news is that every few months, another story comes out about a public person, a public figure, who has been engaged in some horribly inappropriate, sometimes illegal behaviors. And when those issues come to light, they kind of catch us off guard. I mean, just think of the most recent example I can think of is the whole thing with Bill Cosby. And the first time we heard about it, the first time we heard these accusations, I think most of us thought, well, no, that can't possibly be true. And then the more the story unfolded, the more we realized, wow, this really did happen. And I think those things, when they happen to us, or when they didn't happen to us, but when we hear about them, they're shocking because here we have a person that we had a picture in our mind of the kind of person they are. There's this outward persona. There's this belief we have about he is that kind of person or she is that kind of person. But then as the story unfolds, we realize there's a lot more beneath the surface that we weren't even aware of. Like there was some stuff going on behind the scenes that none of us knew about. And it's one of those reminders that what's on the outside doesn't always match what's going on the inside, in the heart. And I think one of the challenges for us is that when those things happen, when we see those stories, when we hear those reports, is rather than us kind of pointing a finger of blame and accusation, I think it's kind of a wake-up call for us to ask ourselves the question, are there things in my heart that I'm kind of keeping to myself? Is there a darkness inside of me? Is there stuff in my life that I'm kind of hiding and the outside looks really good to other people, but on the inside, man, there's some stuff that just isn't right because inevitably what's on the inside does come out. And I think one of the questions for us to ask ourselves is, am I monitoring just my behavior or am I paying attention to my heart as well? Because if I only focus on my outward behaviors and I ignore my heart, then what happens is I end up being two completely different people. And I'm constantly trying to hide what's really going on inside because I don't want anybody else to know what's really going on inside. Now, with that as a foundation, we're going to talk once again today about money. Last week we talked about money, and the key focus, the big idea that we focused on last week was this one simple truth that God owns it all. And the statement that we focused on was this, that everything I have belongs to God. I don't own it. I manage it on His behalf. It belongs to Him. I might possess it. I might hold on to it, but it's on loan to me for a time. And my job is to use it in a way that honors Him, to use it in a way that's consistent with His purposes. That was kind of the big idea last week. And one of the things we also said is that the main issue when it comes to money and how we handle our finances, the main issue has to do with the heart, has to do with what's on the inside. And one of the statements we made was that God doesn't want our money. He doesn't need our money. What He wants is our hearts. And how we use what we have is one of the things that reveals where our hearts really are. So today, we're going to focus on the heart. We're going to focus on what's on the inside of us and how that relates to this whole issue of how we handle finances. And today, we're going to focus specifically on the issue of giving. Now, as I thought about this message over the last couple of months, I look back on some of the things that I've preached in the past, and I thought we could focus on things like basic principles of giving, and what does the Bible say about giving? We could focus on that. The Bible says a lot about that, and I preach a lot of sermons on that. We could focus on percentages, like if I make this much, how much of that should I be giving? The Bible has a lot to say about that, and I preached a lot of messages on that. But I don't think those things are the most important issues. I don't think those things are what really God wants us to focus on. So today, we're not going to talk about guidelines. We're not going to talk about, you know, five steps to giving correctly. What we're going to focus on is checking in with our hearts and finding out where we are. My goal today is not to answer a bunch of questions related to finances and giving. My goal really is to raise some questions that I believe are important questions for us to ask ourselves to kind of get a clear picture on where our hearts are when it comes to the whole issue of how we're handling finances and specifically in the area of giving. So today's big idea is this: it's possible to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. It's possible for us to do the right thing, but to do it with the wrong intentions, the wrong motivations, for the wrong purposes. God wants us to do the right thing. You agree with that? Two of you do. Okay. So we got some work to do. So, you know, God says, there are things that God says, I want you to do this, and I want you to avoid this, and here's this list. And God gives us things that he wants us to do, and that matters to him. But God is also interested in the why. Why do we do the things that we do? Because the why, the intention, the attitude reveals where our hearts are. And that's what God is interested in. See, if I do something, but I'm doing it for the wrong reasons, I'm not doing it from the heart, then at some point that behavior is going to fall by the wayside because I have the wrong motivation. So let's talk about the heart and where our hearts are. And I want to begin just by, there's a ton of passages in Scripture that talk about the importance of the inside matching the outside and how our hearts determine our behaviors. I just want to mention one passage. You don't have to turn there. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus addresses this whole issue of what's on the inside. And he addresses it in this way. He says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit murder." And that's true. Don't do that. But he says, I'm going to take it a little bit further than that. Don't even hold on to anger in your heart towards another person. Now, why does that matter? Well, it matters because murder, like the act of harming another person, that comes from somewhere. It doesn't just happen randomly for no apparent reason. That comes from somewhere. That's a heart issue. It starts in the heart. It begins with anger that we've held on to, that we've refused to resolve, and that anger can come out in some very unhealthy ways. Aggression towards others, trying to harm others, in the most extreme examples, murdering another person. So Jesus says, pay attention to that. If there's anger in your heart, don't pat yourself on the back that you haven't killed somebody. Address that anger, deal with that anger, resolve that anger, because if you don't, it's going to come out in some very negative ways. And then he says, you've also heard it said, don't commit adultery. And he says, that's good, but I'm going to take that a step further. Don't even have lust in your heart towards another person. Why? Because the act of adultery, that outward act, comes from somewhere. It comes because of what's going on the inside that has not been addressed and dealt with. So in that passage and in several other passages, the Bible tells us that the real issue, what really matters, is what's going on in the heart, what's going on the inside. Because if we don't pay attention to that, it can lead to some very negative outcomes in our lives and in the lives of those around us. So with that understanding in mind, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 9 and see what Paul says to us on this whole issue of giving. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6. He says, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." So in this passage, Paul reiterates this whole point that it's possible to give, to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. It's possible for us even to give, but to do it in a way that is displeasing and dishonoring to God. So notice he says here, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Well, what does that mean? Well, a person who gives reluctantly, that's a person who they give, but it hurts them to give. And it hurts them to give, not because they're giving sacrificially, not because they're giving a lot. It hurts them to give because they just hate the idea of giving. They're stingy, they're greedy, they're tightwads. They hate the idea of parting with what's in their wallet or with what's in their bank account. And they'll do it, they'll give, but they kind of do it with clenched teeth. Like you've heard that passage in the Bible where it talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like this is the person that's their response when it's time for the offering. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They give, but they do it reluctantly. They hate the idea of giving. And their motivation isn't an act of love towards God or an expression of worship. Their motivation is guilt. They give only because they feel like, well, I guess I have to do this. I guess I'm supposed to do this. So I hate the idea of doing it, but I've got to check that off my spiritual to-do list. So I'll go ahead and do it anyways. That's giving reluctantly. He says, don't give reluctantly. And then he says, don't give in response to pressure. Some translations say, don't give under compulsion. What does that mean? That means this is a person who their giving is not motivated by a love for God. It's motivated by outward pressure. It's motivated by outward forces. So it could be that they give just because of a fear of criticism. What are other people going to think of me if the basket comes by and I don't put anything in? I don't want them to think I'm stingy, so I better put something in. They give out of a fear of what others think. Or maybe it's the opposite end of the spectrum. They give out of a sense of pride because they want others to look at them and say, wow, look how generous they are. Look what a good person they are, because look at how giving that person is. And they're giving for the wrong reasons. They're giving not out of a motivation of love towards God, but out of an external motivation of fear or pride. Jesus addresses this. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians 9 and go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus addresses this and he talks about a group of people who were givers, but they did it for the wrong reasons. He says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. So let me just ask a couple of questions. The group of people Jesus is talking about here, did they give? Were they givers? Yeah. And some of them gave like huge amounts. But was God pleased with their giving? Not at all. In fact, he says they're not going to get any reward from the Father. God is not happy with their giving. They got what they wanted. They got attention from others, but that's all they're going to get. God is not happy with their giving. Why? Because for these guys, giving wasn't about God. It was about them. These guys, when they would give, they'd hire a marching band, and the Air Force would do a flyover, and they're shooting off fireworks and doing everything to draw attention to themselves. The whole thing was all about, hey, look at me. Look at what I did for God. You should celebrate me and talk about how generous and how wonderful and spiritual I am. That's what it was all about. Their giving had nothing to do with worshiping God or loving God. It had everything to do with drawing attention to themselves. And so Jesus says in this passage, and what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9 is this: the main issue is not the amount. The main issue is the heart, the attitude. God looks at the heart. And again, he doesn't need your money. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. And how we give and why we give, that reveals where our hearts are. So what does that look like? Giving that pleases God, giving that comes from the heart. What does that look like? Well, let's take a look again at 2 Corinthians 9. And Paul gives us some insight in this. 2 Corinthians 9, look at verse 6. He says, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So Paul uses this analogy. He says, think about a farmer. If a farmer only plants, like, say, 10 seeds, they're going to get a fairly small crop, right? Makes sense. You're not going to plant 10 seeds and have this huge bumper crop. You're going to get just a few things. But a farmer who plants a whole bunch of seeds, plants generously, he's going to get a big crop. And what Paul is saying here is this. He says, God wants you to give generously. Side benefit, when you give generously, God's going to bless you for that. And he reiterates that again in verse 8. Look at what he says. God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So Paul says, when you give generously, God rewards you generously. So that means jackpot, right? Like if I give a lot to God, I'm going to become wealthy. God's going to give me 10 times back what I gave to him, right? Isn't that what that means? Like if I give a lot to God, I'm going to get that Camaro that I've been praying for. If I give to God, guaranteed, I'm going to be the next Powerball winner, right? Isn't that what he's saying here? Not exactly. Some years ago, I think we were in South Carolina, I got a letter in the mail from some TV preacher I had never heard of. And it was kind of this weird thing. It had a picture of him holding up this $100 bill that was like huge, this massive $100 bill. It was just printed on like legal, it was obviously not real, just printed out on this, you know, legal size paper. And he's holding this $100 bill printed out on paper. And inside the letter, it's like he had taken that paper and cut it in four pieces, and one of those four pieces was in the letter he sent me. And the explanation, it said, God has revealed this to me, that if you, I've sent this to you and to three other people, and if you will send me a check for $100 along with this piece of paper, then God will bless you, and within a month, you'll get back tenfold. God will reward you with $1,000. I, just so you know, I didn't send him a check, but I did write back to him. And I sent back a little piece of paper. And on the back of it, I wrote something like this. It sounds like you would like to have some money, and that's great. I would too. So I'll make you a deal. You send me a check for $100. God will bless you with $1,000, and we'll both be happy. So needless to say, I didn't get a check from the guy, and I never heard from him again. So that's. But have you heard those kind of things before? Isn't that kind of where people go with these promises sometimes? Because those promises are there. There's some degree of God saying to us, if you give generously, I will bless you generously. I will reward you generously. What is that all about? Well, what that's all about is that when we give, we shouldn't do so with fear in our hearts. Because there's this tendency, isn't there, for all of us to kind of hold on to what we have because of fear. There's this attitude we have that, well, if I give, I'm kind of up the creek because I can't really afford to give, because then I won't have money for this, and I won't be able to afford this, and I won't be able to pay this bill, or I won't be able to meet this financial goal. And there's this fear that we have of, if I give, I don't have access to that money anymore, and I'm kind of in trouble then if I do that. So I need to hold on to it so I can protect myself and provide for myself and meet the goals that I have. And what Paul is saying here is, I want you to trust God. He's going to provide for you. He's not going to abandon you. God will come through for you. And again, where does it all come from to begin with? Who is the source of what we have? Is it just because I worked hard, or does it ultimately come from the God who loves me as a father and provides for me? Jesus talks about the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read one verse. But in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about all these things that we tend to worry about. He says, you're so worried about what you're going to wear, and how are you going to afford that, and you're so worried about what you're going to eat, and how are you going to afford that, and all this stuff that you're stressed out about. How am I going to do this, and how am I going to provide this? And he says, I don't want you to worry about those things. Your Father knows what you need. And that song we sang earlier, His Eyes on the Sparrow, that comes from that passage of Scripture, where Jesus says, even like every single bird that falls to the ground, God even sees them. God is aware of what's happening to them. If God pays attention to them, guess what? You're worth a lot more than they are. So obviously he knows what's going on in your life too. And then he says this in Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What Jesus says here is this: I don't want you to focus on what you want and what you don't have and protecting what you do have. I want you to focus on serving the Father. I want you to focus your life around living a life that honors him, living a life that pleases him, living a life that fulfills his purposes. And all that stuff you're worried about and freaking out about and losing sleep over, he's going to take care of it for you. He will provide for your needs. So kind of the promise here is, put me first, and I'll take care of the stuff that's stressing you out. I don't know that we really buy into that. I don't know that we really trust that or believe that. Again, I think our attitude a lot of times is, well, if I give God $100, then that's $100 I no longer have. Where am I going to make that up? And that's why he gives these promises. Give generously and God will bless you generously. It's not about becoming wealthy or any of those ridiculous things we see on television. It's about this. It's about helping us to get rid of that fear of what's going to happen to me if I give. Because if we get rid of that fear, and if we believe the promises and say, okay, if I give, God's going to provide for me. I'm not just giving and then I'm up the creek. God is going to provide for me because I'm trusting in him. If we get rid of that fear, then we are free to be generous. So, and again, this is one of those things where it's important for us to examine our hearts. If I examine my heart, and honestly, if I say, you know what, I'm kind of a stingy person. I'm kind of a greedy person. I like to protect everything I have. I'm kind of one of these people that the only time I give is when I'm guilted into it. If that's true of me, then what that means is I'm not really trusting him to provide. I'm depending more on my income and my savings account than I am on the God who provided all of that to begin with and ultimately have allowed money to become my master instead of allowing God to become my master. I want you to understand, this is not an issue of how much am I giving. This is an issue of my attitude towards giving. Do I have a generous attitude or do I have a stingy attitude? Where is my heart on the issue of giving? So, a few questions that I put together, and these are on the handout sheets in the back there that have a lot more stuff. These questions are on those sheets, so if you didn't pick one up, I'd encourage you to take one home with you today. But a couple of questions for us to examine. First question, what does my giving say about my level of trust in Him? So my giving to God, or when I see a need and I give or I don't give, what does that say about how much I'm really trusting in Him versus trusting in myself? How about this next question? Does my giving demonstrate a higher level of dependence on Christ or a higher level of dependence on my income, my finances? How about this one? Am I a generous giver? And the second question there is important. Really? Am I a generous giver? And it's easy for us to just jump in and answer, well, yes, I'm a generous person, but then I look at my tax returns from last year and say, yeah, I gave like $50 last year to help somebody else out, and that's all I give. So really, am I really a generous giver? So these are some questions to ask ourselves, to examine our heart and our attitude when it comes to this whole issue of, am I a generous giver? That's an important question to ask ourselves. Here's the next thing Paul says. He says, giving that pleases God is purposeful. Look at verse 7. He says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Notice that word decide. He says, you must each decide. Decide where? With your head? In your heart. Again, he's addressing the heart. He's addressing what's going on inside of us. He says, decide how much to give. What he's saying here is, I want you to put some thought into it. I want you to be purposeful and intentional about this whole issue of giving. Let me show you this, the same passage in the Message version of the Bible. This is really interesting. I like the way he puts this. He says, remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. I like how it words that, because it says, take plenty of time, think it over, and if you do that, that's going to protect you from just caving into somebody's sad story or somebody trying to twist your arm and pressure you into giving and doing it for the wrong reasons. In other words, he's saying, give it some thought. Put some time, think it through, plan your giving. Don't do this last minute, oh yeah, it's that time of the service again, I totally forgot, because when it's a last minute thing, that's when we end up giving for the wrong reasons. When it's a last minute thing that we didn't plan, that's when we end up giving out of a feeling of guilt or feeling pressured or a fear of what are other people going to think. That's where that whole thing comes into play of, okay, well, they put something in and they put something in and it's coming here. I better put something in or people are going to think I'm a horrible person. That's where that mindset comes in, is because we didn't think, we didn't plan, we didn't put effort into it. It's kind of like, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but last week was Valentine's Day. So whether it's Valentine's Day or birthdays or anniversaries, you know, if you're that person who, you know, Sunday morning last week, you're like, oh, that's right, it's Valentine's Day. And so you're rushing to the store and you buy the last shriveled up and dying rose, you know, or you're rushing to the nearest gas station to buy that $2.99 box of chocolates. What does that say about how you view the person you're getting that for? Well, you didn't really put much thought into it, right? You give somebody a gift like that, and they're like, this really isn't a gift. This just, you did this for the wrong reasons, right? Anybody been there? Not looking for testimonies, but, right? That happens sometimes. And what do we always say when it comes to giving a gift to somebody? We say it's the thought that counts. That's kind of what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I don't want you to just do this last minute. Oh, that's right. It's that day. It's my anniversary. And, you know, it's been 25 years. So, you know, he says, I don't want that to happen when it comes to giving to God. I want you to think it over. Put some thought, put some intentionality, be purposeful in how you give, because that shows that your giving is from the heart. It's not from pressure, this last minute, oh, that's right kind of thing. Hopefully that's making sense. So here's a few questions for us to ask when it comes to giving purposefully. First one, how much thought do I put into my giving? That's kind of a broad question. So the next couple questions dig into this a little more. I like this question. At what point in the week or month do I decide whether to give or how much to give? So in other words, if I'm in a church service and it comes to, you know, okay, so it's 11:35 right now and the offering's going to be in a few minutes, and just now I'm deciding whether to give or how much to give, well, that says I haven't really put much thought into it, right? That says it's kind of a last minute thing. But if I've put thought into it, or, you know, either maybe at the beginning of the year, I set down some goals and said, here's my goals for giving this year, or each month, this is how much I'm going to give this month, or even at the beginning of the week, I think ahead, I pray about it, and I know this is what I'm going to do. That shows purpose, that shows intentionality, that shows that I'm putting thought into it. And then the next question, how do I decide? In other words, at some point in our minds, we make a decision, I'm going to give this amount, right? We come to that determination. I'm going to give this amount, not this amount. I'm going to give that amount instead of the other amount. So here's the question. How do I decide that? What's the process that goes into making that decision of this is how much I will give? That's an important question, because whatever that process is, that reveals where my heart is. That reveals what my attitude is towards what I'm giving. Why am I making that decision? Why did I decide that amount? That reveals my thought process. That reveals where my heart is in this whole issue of giving. So one last thing that Paul addresses here, and it's this. He says, giving that pleases God is cheerful. In verse 7, he says that God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And again, the Message paraphrase says, God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. I like that. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. The word there, when it says cheerful giver, the word literally is the word hilarious. That's where we get our word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. When's the last time you heard somebody just fall out of their chair laughing during the offering? Doesn't really happen, right? If it does, there's something else going on. The point is that you know, kind of this question of how do I look at the opportunity to give? Is it something I look forward to, or is it kind of, do I see it as kind of the same thing as going to the dentist, you know? And again, our attitude towards giving, it reveals where our heart is. A person who's a cheerful giver, they find joy in giving. Why? Because it is an expression to them. They see it as, this is an expression of love, of thanksgiving, of worship to God for what he's done for me. Whereas a person who's not a cheerful giver, well, they kind of see it as an obligation. I'm doing this not because I want to, but because I feel like I have to, because it's what I'm supposed to do. And again, the motivation is fear, it's guilt, it's pressure, it's I don't want others to think poorly of me, or I want them to think that I'm a really good person. And so the motivation ends up being wrong. So again, a couple of questions for us to ask when it comes to this whole issue of being a cheerful giver. First question, do I see giving as a privilege, or do I see it as an obligation? In other words, is giving something that I get to do, or is it something that I have to do this? How do I view giving? How about this one? Do I dread giving, or do I look forward to giving? And I like this third question. When I give, how do I view giving? Do I see it as a financial transaction, or do I see it as an act of worship? When it comes to giving, is it just another financial decision? Is it just another line in the checkbook, another line in the budget? Is it just, hey, I'm helping to pay this bill? Is it just checking off something on my spiritual to-do list? Or do I view giving as, this is one of the ways I say to God, God, I love you. God, I trust you. You are my provider. And as I give, I'm letting you know this is an act of worship. How do I view giving? Is it a cheerful thing for me, or is it kind of a sense of dread of I do it, but I really hate the idea of giving? Those are important questions for us to ask ourselves, to kind of do a heart check and to figure out where is my heart on this whole issue of giving. So again, today's big idea, it's possible for us to do the right thing for the wrong reasons. God wants us to do the right thing. That's important to him. But he's also interested in why we do those things. Why are we doing the things we do? In any of these areas where we talk about obedience to Christ, why do we do the things we do? Is it just because we're supposed to do it, or do we do those things as an expression of love to Him? Now, if you examine your heart and you find, you know what, I've been doing the right thing, but I've been doing it for the wrong reasons. The solution to that is not, well, therefore I should stop doing the right thing. That's not the solution. The solution is to do a heart check. The solution is to address what's going on in the inside, because what's on the inside will eventually come out and be obvious to those around us. So I want to encourage you, take some time this week. Take some time to examine these questions. Take some time to just get alone with God and look through these questions and pray through these passages and just allow God to examine your heart and allow God to stretch you and to challenge you in this whole issue of giving. And as you do, trust Him, because He is the one who provides. So once again, we're going to close in a couple of minutes, and as we do, as we sing our closing song, we're going to have an opportunity to give. And as I said last week, I want to say once again, I want to encourage us that when we come to this part of the service, it's not just, well, this is part of the service. It's not just that, okay, so I'm going to give because we got to help pay the bills, or I'm going to give because I'm supposed to do that, or because somebody's watching me, so I better put something in. I want to encourage us, let's not look at it that way. Let's look at giving as an expression of worship. Everything I have belongs to God. I don't own it. I manage it for Him. And so when I give, I'm saying to Him, God, I trust You. I'm saying to Him, God, I recognize You are the provider of everything I have. And my job is to manage it in a way that honors You. One of the ways I do that, not the only way, but one of the ways I do that is giving generously, with a cheerful heart, purposely, intentionally. So let's take this time as we sing our closing song to express our love to God and our thanksgiving to Him.